Yeah, so Halloween's coming up. I'm very, very excited. I feel like we should have decorated the set with, you know, like Party City stuff
That's
or something.
Next week.
What do you mean?
Well, we'll decorate next week. It's okay. Getting close. It's not too late.
Well, what are you dressing up as?
Well, I was thinking either Brad Pitt again, Chris Pratt
okay.
again, or young Dennis Prager.
That's
or
a cool one.
Lastly, an alien.
What did you just say?
An alien. You know, like, ooh, take me to your leader type stuff.
That's extremely, I don't know if anybody's told you this, but that's extremely offensive. I'm not like super upset or anything, but I just want to let you know you can't say that anymore. It's definitely extraterrestrial, not alien.
I can't say alien?
No, you
that's
can't
say. That's literally what it is.
No, it's literally derogatory is what it is. It's referring to people who are immigrants. That's what we call them here in the United States for whatever reason. We call them aliens. And for you to call extraterrestrials that or ETs is super offensive, Taylor. So just trying to educate you. Just give me a warning.
I just wanted to have a fun Halloween costume and be an alien. Why are you attacking me?
And scene. Guys, I don't... Okay, well, let's just get into the story. Here's the headline. This is out of Lad Bible. Demi Lovato believes that we should stop calling extraterrestrials aliens because it's offensive. Woo! I haven't heard from Demi Lovato in a while. I think the last time I heard from Demi Lovato was... when she had her freak out over the fat-free and sugar-free yogurt here in LA at the Big Chill. When was the last time that you heard from Demi Lovato, Taylor?
When you told me about what was going on with the yogurt thing, and then we went to the Big Chill to investigate the situation ourselves and found out that a lot of people were supporting the yogurt shop that she tried to cancel for having fat-free options and that she was triggered by. So it seems like a problematized innocuous things follow this celebrity around wherever she goes.
It is very true. I don't even think they follow her around. I think she just creates them. That's what Demi Lovato loves to do. She's done it with coming out as non-binary and then having the trans activist Alec Vade Manon on her show that advocated that children are kinky too, I believe was his statement. That is a direct quote from her friend that was on her show. And now we got the alien comment. You can't call extraterrestrials aliens anymore because it is derogatory, according to Demi Lovato. And I love this article. They put little picture. They put a picture of her. They put some aliens. Sorry, extraterrestrials down below. She says, that's why I like to call them ETs. So yeah, that's a little tidbit, a little information that I learned. So someone had to tell her this.
Tell her what?
Tell her that the word alien was offensive. She said it's something that she learned.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know where they come up with this stuff, but it's like, you know, just if I can make it one inch higher on the self-righteous totem pole
right. By
becoming offended and finding some way to enforce politically correct language police, thought police on other people. Oh, no one else has thought to be offended by this yet. So if I'm first, I'm extra virtuous because I have the awareness to see it. I think that's kind of the logic at work here that motivates people to just constantly problematize things. It's really out of a desire to virtue signal. It's kind of like when you find out, it's like gossip, when you find out the juicy scoop and it's like, it makes you feel good to be the person who can spread the news. It's like in this woke world, if you're the person who thinks of the new thing to be offended by that, and you're like, yes, I can get those virtue points because I'm the first one to be offended on behalf of aliens.
Right. Just one more virtue point, please, and then I'll stop. I promise I can quit at any time. I can quit. She can't quit.
This is a little too real.
It's a little too real. It's now the backbone of Demi Lovato's career. But, you know, that's all the airtime that it gets because it's not worth talking about any further than
that.
We
have too much else to get to today to spend much time on being offended by the word alien.
Yes, too much. Now, speaking of too much to get to, here's a really hot story that everybody who's anybody is talking about right now, especially if you are an NFL fan. Here's the headline. Gruden is gone. Now the NFL should get rid of those who enabled him.
Okay, wait. You're starting with the...
I'm starting with the leftist piece.
Angle. Okay. No, I see you've got a strategy here. I'll roll with it. You're calling the plays, coach.
Here's the tagline on here. Racist, anti-gay, and misogynist attitudes still exist in the NFL. Can enablers be flushed out? Now, if you're the first one on the internet this morning, this is probably the opinion that you're getting. This is probably the opinion piece that you're getting. Is this one on John Gruden, who... Actually, do you guys want to go into... You guys know the history.
Amla's sports expertise is really about to just blow us all away here.
My sports expertise is utterly limited, which is why I don't want to explain this man's background whatsoever. I'm going to leave that to Taylor or
Scott.
We've
brought in the literal big guns today.
We have.
Hot Scott is a former college football player.
Yes.
And also fellow football enthusiast. And yeah, he's going to help us explain what's going on with this John Gruden story.
Yeah, absolutely. John Gruden, for those of you who don't know, one of the great coaches over the past 20, 30 years. He's made a name for himself for many different things, one being just a gritty, sort of old school styled coach who doesn't take any BS from his players, expects perfection. So on and so forth. He also had a good long stint after winning the Super Bowl with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers back in the early 2000s. He had a good long stint with ESPN as a commentator. He kind of took over the role for Madden, John Madden, back in the day.
For Monday Night Football, yeah. And he was Monday great. Night Everyone Football. Loved his commentary. He's a great color commentator. Really big personality. He also had a show, what is it called? Gruden's QB Camp or
QB
whatever.
Camp, yep.
Yeah. So if you follow the NFL, you're familiar with John Gruden. But anyway, why don't we just go read some, Amla, can you read some of the article that explains what happened?
Yeah, essentially there was a little investigation done and they pulled up emails from John Gruden, emails that date back to 2011, a 2011 email to the then Washington Redskins team president Bruce Allen to describe DeMaurice Smith, the NFL Players Association executive director. At the time, Gruden was lead analyst at the ESPN Monday Night Football. The leaked emails were part of an NFL investigation into workplace conditions inside the Washington Football Team organization.
Yeah, so it's important to catch this, okay?
Yes.
The NFL, or there was an investigation into the Washington Football Team organization, then known as the Redskins, or previously known as the Redskins. I don't know if we'll get canceled for stating that name, heaven forbid. But this was not an investigation into John Gruden at all.
No.
It was an investigation into a team owner because he was accused of misconduct. And I think with issues with harassment for women. And then also there were implications for Roger Goodell, the NFL commissioner. And in the course of that investigation, they were parsing these emails, and the only ones to be leaked, none that had anything to do with Commissioner Goodell or none that had anything to do with the Redskins owner, Dan Snyder, who were actually being investigated, were leaked. But they leaked, or someone leaked, these emails that only were of John Gruden, which were over a decade old, and they have some pretty gross and disgusting language that he was sharing from his personal email account privately to his friends. And
right.
So he was having private discussions with his friends and he was using coarse language and saying bad things.
As we all do also. Let me just go ahead and point that out. And no one is completely avowed of not doing any of this. We can get into the comments because there's no reason to skirt away from them. Here's what this particular article chooses to highlight. Just read his quotes. In the emails reviewed by the Times, no one was spared. He used the F word to describe NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell. He chastised the NFL for forcing the St. Louis Rams and then coach Jeff Fisher to draft a queer. The reference was to Michael Sam, an openly gay player who was drafted to St. Louis in 2014. And Gruden did not like the idea of women rising to the ranks as officials either. And he certainly did not like the players' protests, complaining that NFL player Eric Reed, who continued to kneel during the playing of the national anthem, should have been fired. Wow. Yeah.
So the mainstream narrative on this, which Amla started with this leftist article that is by The Undefeated, which is an offshoot of ESPN, and this was on ESPN.com. But they're saying, Gruden resigned over these comments being made public, and that's not far enough. We need to identify anyone who enabled him in this toxic culture of the NFL and fire them all, cancel them all, burn the whole thing down, because there are men who are having coarse language and coarse humor with one another behind closed doors, and we need to eradicate all of this and burn the whole thing down. Now, on the right side of the aisle, we've had figures like Matt Walsh and Clay Travis come out and point out a few things about that, about this entire narrative that fall apart. Because I admit, on its face, you read these comments and you're like, wow, that is pretty bad. And these, that, you know, someone who's in a position of leadership should probably not be saying this. Now, at the time, he was not even an employee of the NFL that these comments were made over a decade ago, or about a decade ago now. He was working for ESPN as another private company as a commentator. But anyway, let's get into some of the commentary from Matt Walsh on some of the hypocrisy that he sees around this narrative.
Yeah, he's got a lot of different tweets about this. I'm just on his Twitter thread here. Let's give it a show here. He says, Richard Sherman was arrested for domestic violence this past summer. He is currently playing for the Bucks. John Gruden used vulgar language in private emails several years ago, 10 years ago. He is now out of a job. If you think this is about accountability, you're a moron. And Matt Walsh has gone pretty hard on this. Now, he continues, nobody was a victim of Gruden's vulgar comments in his private emails. The people who received the emails didn't care. Nobody else knew about them. Nobody was hurt or even offended. Call it what it was. Gruden is getting canceled for thought crimes.
Yeah.
That's a brilliant point.
Exactly. And it shows the asymmetry. People are more outraged by thought crimes, by the fact that somebody would say something that is not PC, that it, in private, by the way. I was thinking, you know, we had some of this last week with the Dave Chappelle commentary. It's like, you even comedians now are not allowed to say things that are not PC. But if you're going to make room for this in the comedy world, then why can't men in private exchange, right, you know, share coarse jokes with one another? If that,
exactly,
if that can never take place anywhere. But the asymmetry that Matt's pointing out is that there are actual crimes with victims that are perpetrated by NFL players who are still either eligible to play. Deshaun Watson has 24 women accusing him of sexual assault. Antonio Brown just recently settled a rape case and pled guilty to burglary and battery. Big Ben Roethlisberger is also accused by multiple women of rape. Ray Rice was suspended for 2 games for a video that everyone saw for beating his female partner in an elevator, and then he was subsequently released. But the NFL only suspended him for 2 games, and he was released by the team. Tyreek Hill pled guilty to punching and choking his pregnant girlfriend in 2014, and then my own Minnesota Vikings player this year, Jeff Gladney, was indicted and accused of hitting, choking, and dragging his then girlfriend. And so this is a common pattern we see in NFL of this actual violent behavior, but there's nowhere near as much outrage. These are people that are still employed often they're just facing slaps on the wrist.
Right.
And even Dan Snyder, who is himself accused, the owner of the Redskins, who is himself accused of harassing women sexually, got away with a slap on the wrist of like a $10 million fine, as opposed to being terminated or canceled like John Gruden for his private comments.
Yeah, it's interesting too. I feel like people are missing one little aspect here too. The NFL also associates with individuals, those who perform at half times. You can make the argument that a lot of those performers actually have lyrics that are worse, on par, or even far worse than what was actually stated within those emails of John Gruden's. So it's interesting that original article was talking about those, you know, taking down those who enabled John Gruden to speak like this. Well, if that's the case, the NFL needs to go down, because, each and every person in the NFL and even outside of the NFL has had slip ups or something come out of their mouth that's just, off-putting, egregious, what have you. But I think they're just homing in on John for reasons that are more face value than anything.
Right, and we all make jokes. Can we get over that? That's crazy that you get to be held to the same standard of a joke that you made 10 years ago. That is
wild.
That's
Columbus logic, right?
That is Columbus logic. We're canceling Columbus because we're holding him to modern day standards. We're canceling this man for something that he said 10 years ago. And even it's really not that offensive now. He said the word queer. What does the Q in LGBTQ stand for? Stands for queer. So I don't know why we're suddenly acting as if this is the most offensive things that he could possibly have said. And again, like Taylor says, all these other NFL players, coaches, people who are associated with the NFL who have done horrible things and are still maintaining their status with the NFL, still being paid by the NFL, people just want to cancel this man because he's a white male. And it's been speculated that because he has such a large contract, something to the tune of $100 million, maybe they couldn't pay up for that.
And by the way, not one woman, to my knowledge, has come forward and accused John Gruden of any sort of misconduct toward them. Mm-hmm. Not one player, black, white, gay, straight, whatever, has come forward and said John Gruden said something mean or evil to me or treated me unfairly in any way. Where's the harm in this situation? And then on the other side, there's victims, mm-hmm, left and right of all of these players who have been beaten, that or like who have been battered and sexually assaulted. Some of them are even credibly accused of murder that we've seen in the NFL. And where's the outrage for that? And I think there's an interesting connection here to our first story with the Demi Lovato thing. Is you get woke points for being the person to enforce PC culture and to, mm-hmm, enforce to be the thought police and to say, oh, look at this terrible white male who said, yep, politically incorrect things. Let's bury him. And it's more about destroying that person than it is actually protecting people from harm that has been inflicted upon them. This is not motivated by stopping harm. Nobody, mm-mm, is being harmed by John Gruden now.
Right.
And no one is being harmed by cold old emails sitting in his inbox. Like, think about your text message history, watcher at home. Mm-hmm. Think about your email inbox. If someone gave you or was given your private email password and looked, mm-hmm, through 500,000 of your emails, is there anything in there that you could be canceled for today?
Of course there is. Yeah.
But that's the point. Yeah. Those are old private.
Yep.
Think of the words that you've said in confidence to other people behind closed doors that you know would be very inappropriate. Everyone, mm-hmm, you know, so to hold him publicly and make this cost him his job, his reputation, you know, and then for this article that you read, the first one from the leftist guy, to, mm-hmm, say this isn't far enough. We need to go after anyone and everyone who enabled him to what? Have private opinions and share them with his friends and speak in confidence behind closed doors. You autopsying people's old private communications. This is Gestapo level. Let's hunt you down for thought crimes. And you know, and this is all new territory too. If you people have Alexas in their home and big tech and your tweet history and your messages are out there, and you're like, when in the new world that we live in, without who knows, you know, what if the government decides that it's okay all of a sudden to go screen all the messages you've ever sent and see if there's anything that's now considered hate speech, whatever that definition evolves into, this is where we're going. And we used to just have objective standards, and it was actually about okay, is this person actively harming someone? Then we should put them in jail. They should be fired. But this is about thought crimes and cracking down on people based on this PC culture ideology, and it's not leading us to a good place, and it's not a good signal for where we are as a society.
Yeah, totally agree. And I technically, the writer, I don't think he realizes also that ESPN is technically an enabler of John Gruden,
yep,
because he was an employee of ESPN. These conversations, he was obviously having these thoughts while an employee at ESPN. So technically ESPN should also be canceled and taken down.
Right.
And he's a writer for The Undefeated, which is underneath the umbrella of ESPN. So therefore, is he
right?
Should he also step away?
Right. How far does the chain follow for you to get justice for somebody else's thoughts? And again, yeah, what I think the most important thing that Taylor said is he didn't do any harm. He hasn't done any harm presently. It's not going to do any harm in the future because now he doesn't have a job. And he didn't do any harm when those emails were sent to anybody. In fact, he works with black players, gay players, who cares? And they all liked him. There's never been a problem. There's never been an accusation. So this is simply just out of the evil that is wokeism right now. Nothing more.
Exactly. It's a cancer. It's eating everything it touches. And We're gonna hear more about it in our following stories.
Yes, we are. Here's the next thing about, you know, not doing anything that has to do with harm. You're not stopping harm. This one's about Kyrie Irving. Oh, here we go. Here's the title. Nets ban Kyrie Irving from team until he is vaccinated. So another man who's now been taken out of his career. Now, I think what we should do is get into the statement in regard to Kyrie, what they had to say about taking him down from the Nets. Here's what's written. Given the evolving nature of the situation, and after thorough deliberation, we have decided Kyrie Irving will not play or practice with the team until he is eligible to be a full participant. And this is the Brooklyn general manager, Sean Marks, in his statement on Tuesday morning. Kyrie has made a personal choice, and we respect his individual right to choose. Currently, the choice restricts his ability to be a full-time member of the team, and we will not permit any member of our team to participate with part-time availability.
So you have total freedom to choose, yeah, but the consequences of your choice is the loss of all your freedom.
Yep. I completely respect your choice. 100% I respect it. But I'm also going to strip you of your livelihood because you made said choice. And it's because you can't be a full-time participant. What makes him unable to be a full-time participant?
Well, there...
Can somebody explain this?
Their rules. Right. The conversation, and this is... I've seen this a lot in sports media in reference to the NFL's policies around vaccination and such, mm-hmm, is the conversation among sports media and in the media here is always about, well, isn't the player just being so selfish? And mm-hmm, why don't they just, you know, do the right thing? And it's never about how absurd it is to strip them of, like, this is a healthy player. And now beyond this, he's, okay, first of all, we talk about harm, right? Like,
right,
who is being harmed by Kyrie going to practice? No one.
No one.
By the way, they get tested, like, repeatedly. Mm-hmm. So he's not... This is a healthy individual, healthy being, like, not infected with anything, mm-hmm, going, who's being barred from going to practice and playing basketball because of a treatment he's not yet received for a disease that he doesn't have, or a preventative measure for having a more severe infection, which is what we know the vaccine is at this point. Because he's not received this jab, he is barred from being able to go to practice or participate in a sport, and he is not infected. He does not put anyone at risk by going to practice. So this is not about Kyrie Irving and his choice. This is about how absurd the measures that the team is taking and the NBA is taking to try to ram this down on everyone. And we saw that video of Draymond Green. Like, he's not the only person in the NBA, right, who feels like this.
I was just going to say that. I was just going to make the connection there, because Draymond Green in his video made a very, very important assertion. And that is specifically in regard to the Black community, which we know the Black community is disproportionately not getting this vaccine. He says the reason that this is happening is because you are forcing so hard. And of course, people are going to be skeptical about something that you are forcing so hard to the point where you're mandating it. You're now telling Kyrie Irving that he's unable to play the sport that he's been playing his entire life because he's not vaccinated. What do you think is this a net positive? Obviously, it's not a net positive. You've taken a perfectly healthy person, one of the healthiest people probably in America because of the nature of what he does, and you're now saying that he is not healthy enough or he's too unclean to play the sport that he's been playing his entire life, made a livelihood off of. What do you think this does for the Black community? Because the Black community watches a lot of this. They're big fans of Kyrie Irving. They're going to watch this. They're going to see that you took one of their best players out of the game now because you're unable to force a vaccination on him. Do you think this is going to encourage Black people to get vaccinated? Exactly. Do you think this is going to encourage anybody who's a fan of Kyrie Irving to be vaccinated? Absolutely not. It's doing the exact opposite.
No, and I will say, like, when you talk about him earning his livelihood, but he is risking his contract of $33, $35 million mm-hmm, by continuing to stand for what he believes in and for his own freedom to choose. And he's really putting that on the line. And that, to me, that is such a an amazing act of courage and self-determination to say, I will not be bullied into this. And I'm putting my tens of millions of dollars on the line. And he's got a lot to lose, not just financially, but he's a very well-known, I mean, he's a superstar. He's an NBA superstar. He's one of the best and most well-known players in the entire NBA. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's fascinating to see this. You know, it reminds me of the Nicki Minaj situation. We're seeing different people in culture who are not particularly political, mm-hmm, and who are simply saying, you know what? you guys are pushing so hard with this stuff, and I'm just trying to maintain my autonomy and maintain my sovereignty over my own life and my own body. And you guys are going too far, and I'm not just going to acquiesce because of the pressure. And I just wish you would respect that decision. And I think more relatively apolitical people are going to come out of the fray. And we're seeing more and more pushback the harder that all this tyrannical mandates and stuff are being pushed. And I hope that it continues, and I hope Kyrie stays strong.
And let's not forget, on the broader level, it is a dangerous thing when apolitical people are now being forced to be political, and especially on a subject matter such as this. It's crazy. When we start to see industries that used to be unbiased, albeit a long time ago, start to be extremely political to the point where people who were completely devoid of political opinion before now feel the need to come out and make a statement about it, it shows that our society is not going in a good direction. It shows that we are headed down a very, very dark path. Because now we have children being political, now we have NBA players being political, now we have pop stars being political. It's getting bad. It's getting bad.
And it didn't have to be this way.
No.
And I posted this yesterday about the remember they posted the review of the Fauci documentary, which was like all super positive by the critics, and then it was like 0%. There are two Americas right now. Mm-hmm. The common people who just want to live their lives and be left alone, and then the woke elites and their sheep who are trying to impose their norms and their way of thinking and the approved narrative on everybody else. And I think for a long time, and especially in the last couple of years, up until the last year or so, mm-hmm. the everyday people were just content to like, hey, leave me alone. And I think they were quiet, and you didn't hear much from them. But now they're pushing so hard that I think people are like, I'm not sitting back anymore. I think we need more people to stand up and refuse to comply with tyranny wherever it confronts them, whether that's in their workplace, in their school, or anywhere else coming from the government.
Perfect segue, Taylor, because we're going to get into this very influential and powerful video from an airline pilot talking about none other than vaccine mandates. Let's hear it.
I've been an airline pilot for 18 years, and now I'm facing an ultimatum. Not a choice, but an ultimatum. I'm being told in order to continue my career as an airline pilot, I must be vaccinated, which really means I have to choose between putting food on the table for my family and my freedom of choice. Whether you believe in vaccination is the right thing to do or not, the situation goes far beyond health. We, the American people, have fought for freedom for 257 years. We go around the world spreading ideas of freedom and democracy. We help other countries and people fight for their freedoms, while ours are being stripped away. You may think being forced to wear a mask or get a vaccination is insignificant, but when you begin to compile mandate after mandate and loss of freedom after freedom, it becomes very significant. As each thing is taken away, we face what is known as the shifting baseline syndrome. This syndrome changes our idea of a new and acceptable normal. Soon, we will not remember what it was like to have the freedoms we once did. Our children and our grandchildren will experience less freedom, and they won't have the privilege or the pleasure to enjoy the same choices our parents had or that we have. If we give into these mandates and we do not stand up for our freedom of choice, we dishonor every armed service person over the last 257 years. A disservice to the people who have fought and bled for the very freedoms we enjoy. Whether you believe in vaccination or not, I'm standing up for your freedom of choice. You may support the vaccine mandates because they fall in line with your current beliefs. But if we let this happen now, there will be a day when what you're told to do will not fall in line with your beliefs. If we do not stand together and fight back in one voice, soon we could be told where to live, what job we will do, what religion to believe, and how many children we can have. Do you really want someone telling your children or your grandchildren what, when, and how they will live every minute of their lives? It's time we take a stance. It's time we fight for our freedom of choice while we still can. Join us.
Great video. And he makes a great point, and several great points, but I want to touch on one of them. And that is the shifting of the baseline and our metric of what freedom and liberty means. And over the past 2 years, we've seen that baseline shift, because at first it was 2 weeks to slow the spread. And then it was, don't come out of your house and shut down your businesses. And then it was, oh, well, maybe you can open up, but you all have to wear a mask. And then it was double masking. And then it was get vaccinated. And then it was get your booster shot. And then it was, now we get to mandate that you get vaccinated. And after you get vaccinated, you still have to wear your mask. And that's still discussions that are being had right now as to what you can and cannot do. So we've allowed the baseline to shift already.
Yeah, and that's what's so dangerous. Tyranny encroaches on your liberty little by little. Mm-hmm. And every concession you make to allow them to establish a new normal, you've lost that much control over your own life. You've lost that much liberty. And, you know, America was founded on the idea of liberty. We were a nation that was fleeing religious persecution, was fleeing tyranny and tyrannical monarchies in every other nation in history. And we established a place that was built on the idea that, hey, we're going to rule ourselves, and mm-hmm. with this, we're going to enshrine the idea of personal liberty. We're going to enshrine the idea of freedom, and we're going to build a representative government, a system where people can make their interests known and to make sure that they're represented in their government, and we rule ourselves. And we're being ruled now by elites. We're being ruled by woke people in behind closed doors who are coming up with ideas to mandate things down and shove them down our throats. Right. And I'm like, this is inspirational to me, because this is a pilot of a pilot on mm-hmm. an airline, just an everyday professional type of person. Mm-hmm. And everyone in America, regular workers, regular everyday people, need to start remembering what this freedom is all about. We need like a great awakening to the original ideas that America was founded on, and to start standing up for those and demanding that those who are trying to take away our freedom to choose and to live our lives without the interference of government, that we aren't going to tolerate that.
Yep. And he dictates the extent to which it goes. And if you look at communist China, he's very much right. They tell you when you can and cannot come out of your house, what religion you should be practicing, as we've seen with the concentration camps, the Uyghurs, their one child policy. They dictate how many children you're able to have, what type of child you have, which is why there's so many Chinese girls up for adoption. It's scary. And if you don't recognize it and see that it is coming to fruition here, and you don't say something about it, which again, I hearken back to the point that all these industries that used to be apolitical are now becoming political, and that should be a big warning sign for everybody seeing this. It should be a huge warning sign. We need to speak up about all of this is happening right now.
Yeah, and I'd say too, I've been thinking about this lately, but be conscious of the constant crises. You know, like, there are legitimate things and issues that arise in society that we need to be conscious of and worry about, but those should be addressed in a rational and calm and thoughtful way. And we should weigh all of the best arguments and all of the evidence in every direction, and then come to a conclusion about the best way to address those issues as a society. But that is not what's happening. We're seeing, you know, race stuff being sensationalized mm-hmm. and elevated to a crisis, and climate change is a crisis, and COVID is a crisis. And that all of those crises, when you elevate it like that and suppress the idea of everyone coming together and, hey, let's debate the best, let's put all the cards on the table and figure out what the right solution is in lieu of all the evidence. Instead, they're saying, no, we the experts know about what the right opinion on race. We at the New York Times know what needs to happen. Yep. About BLM and riots. We at the New York Times and the mainstream media, we know what needs to happen about climate change. And we the elites know what needs to happen about COVID. And you little paupers out there don't need to worry about these conflicts. You just need to comply with whatever we tell you. We need to comply with the experts. And again, the everyday people in America just should not tolerate this stuff anymore, and demand that the people who are in control either represent us or get out.
You're absolutely right. And here's what happens when you don't comply. Let's look at this Instagram. This is from Benny Johnson. It's a picture. No jab, no job. Why? Father of five, 20-year Navy veteran, 4,000 hours at none other than Southwest Airlines. And these are the people who are going to be left behind in this fight. These are the people who lose their jobs, lose their livelihoods, just like Kyrie, just like John Gruden, although for a different issue. This is what's happening. You're being alienated out of society, out of being able to work, out of being able to provide for your family. We are essentially cutting people out of livelihood in America. We are making second-class citizens who don't get to enjoy not even privileges, but the right to work in this country. I'm almost speechless.
I was speechless there for a second. But I was reading to the chat, but no, that picture was heartbreaking. And even like the Southwest heart on the logo was a broken heart. But it's funny how, like, is this a piece of propaganda, or is this someone who is sincerely heartbroken over the fact that they were being recorded? Now, did you see today the Southwest CEO went on TV and said that he didn't want to do this and he doesn't support these vax mandates, but he was like, it came down from the top of the government and he was forced to, and he's trying to like walk it back slightly. So I don't know if that means, I think he said, no, Southwest had stated a policy that they gave a deadline that you would be terminated if you did not get the jab. But he said on TV today, I think that that they weren't going to fire anyone for not doing it. So I don't know if that's, and you know, it's maybe like a silent victory because they're not getting any credit. I saw like a pilot on Tucker Carlson last night who was saying like, it's illegal to do a sick out, like they were saying. So no one who was participating in the sick out, quote unquote, could actually come out and say, I am doing a sick out for these reasons, or else they would be breaking the law and, you know, that would undercut their whole cause. So I think that's why it was like this quiet thing. But the fact that the CEO went on today and basically reversed the position of Southwest makes it seem to be that it was a success. And that is a cause for hope.
Yeah, that is a cause for hope. Yeah, I think maybe those 1,800 flights that got canceled over this past weekend might have lit a fire under somebody's butt. And I hope that is the case.
And more stuff like that needs to happen.
Because
it works.
It does work.
You have power. Have power as an individual and as an American citizen. Use it.
Yeah, it's when people say that we vote with our wallets and we vote with our time, they are not lying. If you don't allow these businesses to function anymore, as soon as they become tyrannical, guess what? They can't be tyrannical anymore. They have to meld to their market. And if the market doesn't allow for them to do these things, they won't be able to do them.
Yeah, and if they can break your faith that your voice matters or that you're standing up matters, if they can break your faith, then they can intimidate you into compliance. But it's like Robert George said yesterday, when a bully intimidates you, that's the time to stand up to them and not just acquiesce.
Yeah. Speaking of standing up to companies, we've talked about Ben and Jerry, our two friends with the ice cream company, multiple times on this show. They are known to be very, very active left-wing activists. I, when working for the left, was heavily associated with Ben and Jerry's. I would go out and knock doors or go to colleges and talk to kids about getting them on the left or getting them involved with our organization. And we would have little Ben and Jerry's carts that would be funded and paid for by Ben and Jerry and their company themselves. But now they're under fire because, as we all know, a while ago, Ben and Jerry said that they were going to refuse to sell Ben and Jerry's ice cream in Israeli-occupied territory anywhere in the Middle East. So they just did an interview. I'm going to get into the interview. This is with HBO, and they got a little bit of heat from this interviewer, which, kudos to this interviewer before we get into the video. Here we go.
Disagree with the Israeli government policy. Why not just stop sales completely?
Well, I disagree with the U.S. policy. We couldn't stop selling in the U.S. I think it's fine to be involved with a country, to be a citizen of a country, and to protest some of the country's actions. And that's essentially what we're doing in terms of Israel. We hugely support Israel's right to exist, but we are against a particular policy.
You guys are big proponents of voting rights. Why do you still sell ice cream in Georgia? Texas, abortion bans. Why are you still selling there?
I don't know. I mean, it's an interesting question. I don't know what that would accomplish. We're working on those issues of voting rights and I don't know. I think you ask a really good question, and I think I'd have to sit down and think about it for a bit.
Now, it's just so awkward.
I know. It was so cringe.
Okay. I'm not going to flame Ben and Jerry all that much because I do think, at the very end of it, the answer is sufficient. He said, I honestly don't know. I will look into it, and I will actually look for an answer, because clearly he got caught a little red-handed
there.
Here's
a crystal clear example of how you're actively being hypocritical with your actions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Why are you being a hypocrite?
Exactly.
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And this is the problem. If they sincerely cared about the issues that they claim to, then they would be consistent in their beliefs, even if it came at the expense of them being able to sell in Georgia and Texas. But they're so loud about their activism, but they're banking on the fact that everyone in the media and all the mainstream journalists will just pat them on the back for being so woke. But reality is that here's the dirty little secret about woke people. Their money is not where their mouth is more often than not, and they're not consistent. This is the same asymmetry you saw during Pride Month when, what was it? I mean, so many companies did this, but for example, Bethesda, is it like a global video game company? They have global Twitter accounts, and they put Pride flags on every single one of their Twitter accounts all over the world, in every single country that they're in, except in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Why? Because they're Islamic there, and they're anti-gay, and they throw gay people off of buildings, but they have nothing to say about that. And meanwhile, they're waving pride flags all around. If you really cared about gay people, the only place you should be putting the pride flag is in Saudi Arabia. But you don't care about gay people. You just care about virtue signaling and being woke. And it's the same thing that's happening here with Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah. Don't you find it interesting, too? Like, I agree. I applaud him for saying he doesn't know and that he'd have to sit back and think about it. But don't you think it's interesting? There was like a half answer there where he was like, I don't know what that would accomplish.
Right.
And it's like, okay, well, why don't you apply that exact same thought to what you're doing in Israel? What are you truly accomplishing right now?
Here's my theory, guys. I'll give you multiple theories. So first of all, I think they sent Ben and Jerry, the actual Ben and Jerry, to do this HBO interview because they didn't expect them to get heated questions from this interviewer. As we all know, you can look this up, Ben and Jerry's was acquired by Unilever in 2000. So Ben and Jerry are really not even the owners of Ben and Jerry's anymore. I think they sent two old men because they thought they wouldn't get too much heat from this young reporter if they sent the actual Ben and Jerry to do this interview. Also, I think maybe Ben and Jerry does not have the biggest market over there in Israel. So they pulled that, made it a political statement just so they don't have to pay, you know, all the taxes that go along with imports and moving their products from the United States to Israel and actually manufacturing and all that stuff. So I think it was more of an economic move than anything, because obviously they're very hypocritical. If they were consistent, they would do the same thing in Georgia. They would do the same thing in Texas, because Ben and Jerry's is fervently against voter suppression, now, as they call it.
Did they make a whole ice cream about it?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
And did they make a defund the police ice cream? Like, they're all over the place.
They are all over the place with this stuff. So I think they pulled their manufacturing or their selling in Israel just because they weren't making enough money to justify being there. And they used it as a political statement, because Ben and Jerry are both Jewish. So I just don't believe any of this is real. I think it's all farcical. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, it's just obviously they're super disingenuous. And I do think that they were not prepared for an answer in that moment, because they're used to getting they're patted on the back for all their woke activism. But when a journalist actually asks them, why aren't you consistent in your beliefs, they're not prepared to answer that question, because they presume that they're used to media making excuses for them, or just mindlessly elevating.
Oh, the trans person. Signaling.
Oh, are we getting jumping into TikTok Tuesday early?
No, we're not. I always create technical difficulties on this show.
I would have to applaud the journalist at the same time. She's actually asking a tough question for once. I feel like we are lacking that so dearly in you know, media at large. You know, outside of us, maybe.
Right, but, outside of our show.
Yeah, exactly. But I would have to commend her for pushing them.
Right,
because you have to start asking them these tough questions and put them on the spot, because if they can't explain away their own logic, you know, hopefully it'll open people's eyes to the truth.
Yeah,
one
absolutely.
Would hope. It doesn't happen as often as you would think.
As often as it should, absolutely not.
But that, like, I mean, I know we're trying to move through these quickly, but that is something that you said was helping in your red pill experience, was seeing the holes in the logic of the people who are in charge of the leftist organizations that you were working for, right?
Yep, and it happens immediately. As soon as you see that and you go, well, oof, I don't have an answer to that either, or they really didn't have an answer for that. So what's actually going on? And you find out how hypocritical.
So hopefully Ben or Jerry is watching Tom Sowell videos or something. Right. Getting red pilled as we speak after that embarrassing moment.
They come out with like a red pill flavored ice cream.
That would be awesome.
After this one encounter with this journalist. Now, guys, it is Tuesday, which means TikTok Tuesday. We had more stories on the docket for today, but we just simply don't have enough time to get into them. We will cover those throughout the week. Some crazy ones out of Loudoun County and some others out of New York City with the shoplifting going on right there. But we will get to those later on in the week. Now, for TikTok Tuesday, we've got a bunch of crazy TikToks.
It's been a rough stretch on this show, so I'm glad for we have a little bit of levity.
Yes.
Are you showing my pick first? Or you?
I think we're going to save that.
That's like dessert. That's the Ben and Jerry's.
Yeah, I think we save that for last.
Okay.
But it is great. It is fantastic. Oh, if I'm losing my space here. Hold
sorry,
on.
I
always
you.
Do that on this show. It's okay. Well, actually, we will play Taylor's first.
Okay.
Here we go. This is Taylor's choice for TikTok Tuesday. If it. Oh, my goodness.
I laugh so hard. We need to get this guy for PragerFors.
Okay. Here we go, guys.
Ask a trans person the gender of their pet. And then ask them how they can tell. Ask a trans person the gender of their pet.
One more time.
And then ask them how they can tell.
Little look. Oh, that's amazing, man.
I feel bad. If you're listening on to the podcast, which is on Apple, Spotify, or anywhere you can get your podcasts online, by the way, leave us a 5-star review. You have to tune into the YouTube version of this as well, or on the PragerU website or on Facebook to see that guy's face, because it was epic. But we're going on to number two for TikTok Tuesday. I mean, he just made a great point and then kind of had like a, you know, what do you call that? The gangster walk away or whatever it's called.
Yeah, just the little like the mic drop moment. Yeah. Oh. Now here's this next one. This is a crazy TikTok out of Australia.
So I'm Constable Weston from Maroubra Police Station. As I said before to you, sunbathing is not an essential reason to be outside. I'm requesting your identity because I suspect you're committing an offence. You must provide that identity to me, okay?
Okay.
And we'll investigate further.
For me, sunbathing is not essential.
Like his voice.
Sure. Yeah,
sunbathing is not essential.
Just letting you know, our boy Wolfie is also recording. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. And your stance as well is the exact same as this gentleman?
Yeah, I agree. You may be potentially breaching the public health order at this point in time.
Okay, do we believe that the public health order is superseding common law? Is it?
Okay, we're not arguing points of law with you. We're acting on the public health order. You need to be outside for an essential reason. You are in a hotspot zone for the COVID virus. Unfortunately, we must enforce that, like, you've got to be outside for an essential reason. Laying on the beach, just having a sunbathe, like, it's not an essential reason to be outside.
I know.
Now, we're going to look further into whether you are committing an offence.
It's so ridiculous.
Your sunbathing is not an essential excuse to be outside.
I'm not here to debate common law.
It sounded like he was an Irishman.
He was.
Being part Irish, you know, Irish people can use all the vitamin D they can get. So maybe sunbathing was an essential.
You're about to catch these hands, laddie.
And as much as that's a joke, like that is truly an argument here. Who gets to define what is essential? Is me going to the grocery store to feed my family essential? Is me going to work essential for you? Who gets to define those terms? So right now we just have police officers waltzing around getting to take in this public health order and decide what's essential to them. Mm-hmm. They get to make the subjective decision.
And we were talking earlier about how the tyranny just starts to choke the life out of your liberty. Australia is a shining example of what happens when you don't stand up for your liberty. So if we don't have Americans standing up like that pilot did, or like the parents who are going to the school board meetings do, then we're going to end up in the same place where you're having the police confront you while you're trying to sunbathe.
You're trying to sunbathe. Absolutely, that's what's going to happen. And the tyranny out of Australia is so real. It sets a dangerous precedent. It shows us where we're going to be if we don't speak up right now. We need to fight back against all these mandates that are happening in our workplaces, because guess what? the next step is really Australia.
Chat's making some good points. Mental health is essential, and sometimes relaxing on the beach is a nice way to relieve stress.
There you go.
And sunbathing provides vitamin D.
Vitamin D.
I'd say that's essential, wouldn't you, Umala?
I would say that's essential, wouldn't I? And yeah, it's, again, a subjective word. It's like determining what hate speech is. Who gets to tell me what hate speech is? Who gets to tell me whether or not I'm essential? Let's move on to this next TikTok here. This one's of a fun teacher in sixth grade, and what these sixth graders say to her is dumbfounding. Here we go.
My students found a flag on the counter, and one of them was like, whose Trump flag is this? And all the other students were like, who has a Trump flag? And I was like, why would someone who has this in their classroom have a Trump flag? And I look over here, and I realized that they were talking about this.
Does that not just make you sick? Like, I pray it was just some kid trolling her and being dumb. But if a kid is sincerely confused about whether an American flag is a Trump flag because they have parents so woke that they conflate those in their household, that is very disturbing.
It is
and
disturbing.
Disheartening about where we are as a country.
She said multiple kids said it too. Oh my gosh.
This is a great time to remind you that PragerU.com/kids is a great place to find resources of children's content. So you can educate your kids not to be American hating communists, but to love America and understand the value of freedom and understand what a privilege it is to live in the greatest country that the world has ever seen.
Right.
So go check out PragerU.com/kids.
Yeah. At baseline, it'll at least teach your kids how to recognize the American flag.
Yeah, there's a show called Craftery. You were on that one episode of that. And there's little activities that you can do with your kids about the American flag and all kinds of cool stuff. So
yes, please do, because our kids need it more
than ever.
That's
not just a shameless plug here. It's like, like, please, God.
Please show your kids this.
Yes, for the love of God.
We need educated children, please. We need children who know what the American flag is. Please, for the love of God, show your children PragerU kids.
Yes.
Now, speaking of children, this next one, I think this one's out of the UK. I'll let the video speak for itself.
You think that parents should ask their children's consent when they are babies to change their nappy. Is this not sexualizing the interaction between a parent and child? Because it's just a parent's job to change a nappy, isn't it? It's just a normal, natural, innocent thing.
I'm very confused about how this would become a sexual issue. So, for example,
because you're talking about consent, which is implying that parents are doing something non-consensual.
There's nothing sexual about consent. If I was to say, oh, Suzanne, it's really lovely to meet you, I would love to give you a hug, I would wait for you to communicate with me
adults.
Well, it's even more important to do it with a baby. You're building a baby's
brain. Can't respond. And also,
have you got kids?
Of course. I've worked
with children. How many have you got?
I've got one and I've fostered and I've
Talk
been
me through
childminder.
The conversation you had with your three-month-old baby about consent. How did they go?
It would have gone. I just need to change your nappy now to make you comfortable.
And your three-month-old baby said what in response?
Of course, we would know that a three-month-old baby can't speak. Babies communicate all the time.
How did your baby tell you that it was giving consent? Boy or girl?
A boy.
Or gender fluid? Which one?
A boy.
A boy. So how did your little boy, aged 3 months, communicate to you that it was okay to change his nappy?
It's not the okay, it's the respect.
How do they give consent?
Well, that you can see in a body, in the body energy of any human being.
Talk me through it. Show me what he would do.
Well, if a baby is upset, then you will see tension, a body arch,
plenty of babies don't like it when you change their nappy. I mean, we've all, as parents, had to change the nappy of a child who doesn't.
But you
have to override that for the hygiene and safety of the baby.
Of course
not
you
changing
do,
the nappy is abusive.
Of course, and nobody would leave a baby in a dirty nappy.
Did your son ever say no to you?
It's introducing the idea that I respect you as a human being, so there's going to be a momentary acknowledgement of I see you and you matter.
Did you ever not change your... Did
way.
you ever not change your...
If you were an adult and you were immobile, mobile and non-verbal, and somebody had to touch you and clean you, you would like some...
Oh, thank God that's over.
Oh, it's over. Oh, that was a little longer than I thought. I felt like I was just like trapped in a loophole of hearing this.
I did not give consent to keep watching that video. I had a body arts going on. I was like, please, no.
please don't make me watch this anymore.
She's talking about respect, but I feel like the act of cleaning your infant child from, you know, the mess in their diaper,
mm-hmm.
And making sure that they're not getting, you know, diaper rash or anything like that, and keeping them clean and helping them do things that they themselves cannot do for themselves. That is far more respect than asking them politely.
Right.
They can't even respond.
I know. What if they don't consent to wearing a seatbelt in the car or putting floaties on before they go in a pool? Is it are you just going to let them be a greater risk of dying because of your consent policy?
What if they don't consent to being bathed? Like, I don't understand. It doesn't. I understand. See, I'm not going to rag on her too. I understand that she wants to enforce that you should respect people's choice, especially when you're touching them, blah, blah, blah. That does not need to be something that you do with your baby. You change your baby's diaper. In fact, if we waited for a baby's consent to change their diaper, babies would just be sitting in their diapers. And that's child abuse. That is actual child abuse. You could have CPS called on you for doing that to your child. So the idea that we need to enforce what are not really adult ideas, but young adult ideas on babies is, again, it's this point to this sort of leftist, cushy, safe space, blah, 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 that we need to enforce and we need to teach these things to kids as young as we possibly can. We need to teach consent. We need to teach racism. We need to teach gender theory as early as we can possibly do that. And that starts with them as babies. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, they have completely lost the plot on the appropriate. It's like, I understand you, we talk about this all the time. Like, a lot of leftist stuff starts from a well-meaning intuition.
Yes.
And you can tell this lady there's a lot of crazy ideology that's making her blind to the actual harm that she's causing and how messed up it is and how ill-prepared her child is going to be for life if she actually uses this approach to raising her child. But at the core of it, or at the, like, where it started, was this idea of consent, which is not necessarily a bad thing.
No.
But when you put all these, this twisted worldview layered on top of that basically good intuition, you end up with a lot of unintended consequences. And if that is not a perfect metaphor for leftist politics, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I mean, the best things are often born out of good intent. And the worst things are often born out of good intent. Sorry.
The best things, too.
Yeah. The best and the worst things. It's the logical part that sort of leads you down the path of whether or not this is what I need to do with my good intentions. And it's the logical part that's lacking.
Mm-hmm. And the common sense that's lacking. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that, like, but seriously, that just feels like such a metaphor for so much of what we're seeing in society today, is these ideologically possessed people doing, like, bypassing common sense, and, you know, just acting in insane ways on the basis of these moral intuitions that they think are good, and the ideology that they attach to those moral intuitions is extremely destructive.
And, you know, it's the confidence for me. It's the confidence to get up on a TV show.
You gotta respect the confidence.
I have to respect the confidence of people that are saying nothing but utter BS, but they say it to you as if it's fact. I have to respect it. I've got to respect it, because that was once me. I've got to respect it. And of course, we've been over my old speeches as a leftist and things. It's the confidence for me.
It is. I mean, you walk in there just like, ready to
just
go.
Just like, I know what I'm about to say.
But it's this assuredness, this like moral superiority that I'm going to enlighten the heck out of all these people who are watching. And they are so lucky to hear my woke stuff.
Right.
Because they just don't get it. And that, how does it feel too? Like when you watch mainstream media lecture you, and Don Lemon sitting up on his high horse telling, you know, lecturing you on race or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same sentiment of this smug self-righteousness that I'm this enlightened person and you're just this dumb flyover country middle American who thinks that common sense is a good idea. You just don't know all this. You're not enlightened by all these higher ideals. Anyway,
because of how it was handled, she will walk away from that show still believing what she believed when she went on the show.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate, because it could have been an actual discussion I feel like she did get berated specifically by Piers Morgan, but they could have made this a fruitful discussion about why
this is wrong.
He's like
the Will Witt on that set.
He is like the Will Witt.
If she came on this show, she might have a chance if it's you and me running the, but well, Will's on his book tour.
Not
but
with Will.
If Will's here, it's game
like,
over.
What's your baby? Boy, girl, gender neutral, huh? She's like, boy. She was already over it at that point.
Which is also like, how do you know it's a boy?
How do you
Has
know?
He told you?
Did he consent to you calling him a boy?
Exactly.
Huh, lady? Okay. Anyways,
this palate cleanser here. I'm excited about this.
Palate cleanser here. Both Taylor and I are excited about this. Maybe Scott's excited about this too.
I don't know if I'm excited about this, to be honest, but we're going to talk.
We're excited about the subject matter because Taylor and I's favorite time of year is this time of year. It's the Halloween all the way to Christmas. And Taylor's favorite Christmas movie, albeit maybe his favorite, his second favorite movie of all time.
It's up there for sure.
Is Home Alone.
Home Alone.
My favorite Christmas movie is... It's Home Alone and The Santa Claus. Those are my two favorite Christmas movies. Scott, what's your favorite Christmas movie?
Santa Claus all the way.
The Santa Claus? Oh, Tim Allen, man. So good.
Santa Claus has a little too much cheese for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Too much cheese?
I still enjoy it. It's still a good annual watch, but it's not
You're saying Home Alone doesn't have cheese?
I'm saying Home Alone is a transcendently epic work of art.
Yes.
The John Williams score. All that stuff. It's just so perfect. And Home Alone is like Lord of the Rings in that 1 and 2 are pretty much equally good. Same thing, Lord of the Rings, like 1, 2, and 3, they're all like home runs. So anyway, that's my hot take. Whatever, you may disagree, but
apparently it is a home run because they're remaking Home Alone and we have the trailer for you all today. We're going to react to it. We're going to see how we feel about it. And we're going to make judgments based on nothing more than a trailer. Here we go.
'Twas the night before Christmas vacation. And the fun was in full swing.
You have split our family onto two separate flights.
Mom!
Max, please!
The family left for their big vacation.
Is that everyone? The cars are leaving now!
But forgot one little thing.
Mom? Dad? Uncle Blake?
They don't even know I'm here. They don't even know I'm here.
My mom and dad have gone to Tokyo. I'm totally on my own.
You do realize that my 10-year-old son is at home by himself. You just assumed Max was on the other flight.
We didn't take a census.
We got reports of suspicious people around 36 Lincoln Ave.
I can't go to jail, honey. I wouldn't last 30 seconds in Gen Pop. It's where fresh fish get got.
Nobody here is getting got.
And we're criminals.
I don't think so.
This is my house. I have to defend it.
Orange stripe, center pocket.
Ooh. That did not sound right.
I am trying to get home to my son, who is alone. I'm scared. And he needs his mother.
Sweet Home Alone.
Oh no, a ladder!
You think I'm that stupid?
Yes, I do.
Only on Disney Plus.
I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan.
I mean, them putting Disney Plus at the end of it just reminded me that I have no hope for humanity when Disney Plus is making these movies because they destroy everything that they touch with their woke stuff. I didn't see anything woke in here. No
the
woke signals, smoke signals,
like
no woke signals.
Super cheesy. The acting was super cheesy. Okay, first of
I'm
all.
I'm home alone. What am I going to do?
Your criminals are like, they're not even like, you know, they're not even like,
there's a little gender swapping in there. You know, the lovably semi-competent criminal. I forget his name in the Sticky Bandits. Not the tall one.
Harry and Marv.
Not Marv.
Yeah, Harry. Yeah.
Joe Pesci.
There, you know, there was a little gender swap there. But the main child actor. You know, I have a little bit of hope because I really enjoyed his acting in Jojo Rabbit. I thought he crushed that role.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's probably the only silver lining in all this.
That's the little kid is probably the only silver lining. I don't like that Marv and Harry are like the, oh, we don't know if we can do this type criminals anymore. In the first one, they're like so confident, they're baller, they're going to go in. They're like, we've done this a million times before. And just like Marv and Harry's attitudes and the way that they work with each other.
They were like goofy, but like kind of somewhat believable at the same time.
Right.
It was really, really well performed. Yeah. And I did, Yeah. My expectations for this movie are at zero.
Yeah.
I do think I like to hear the music. I like to see the Home Alone branding, and Home Alone 3 and 4, the other ones that they made, I was kind of like they're totally forgettable. And I think this will probably be forgettable too.
I agree.
It feels like this will be like a gimmicky thing. I'm not going to watch this every single year, but I'll watch it once with an open mind. If they put any woke stuff in it, I'm going to hate it. Mm-hmm. If they've managed to avoid woke stuff and somehow make it funny and watchable, then I might be pleasantly surprised. But
yeah.
The most excited I was in watching this trailer though was seeing Devin Rattray. I don't know how I know his name. The actor who played Buzz in Home Alone 1 and 2.
As the Popo.
He's the cop. And he's a McAllister. Still his name. And he makes the I was like, it's Buzz. That was pretty awesome.
So we'll keep an eye out. Maybe we'll do a review of it when it does come out around Christmas time, and we'll talk about it on the show. But ladies and gentlemen, that is our show for today. We covered a lot. And
do you remember what we have to plug today?
I do remember what we have to plug today. We have a new documentary called Trading Up coming out very, very soon. It's all about trade schools and how important they are.
Tomorrow,
Taylor believes.
We may watch it on the show or a piece of it.
Yes, we will watch a piece of it on the show tomorrow. It's about trade schools, how important they are to American education, and how we should value them a little bit more and maybe consider them a little bit more when choosing higher education.
Featuring whom? Mike Rowe, host of Dirty Jobs.
How much of Dirty Jobs did you watch?
I watched it all the time.
Really. I feel like it's I feel like it's a boy/man show. Dirty Jobs.
He's awesome. It's a cool concept. I love what he did. But I watched the documentary the other day. Like, I got a sneak preview as a PragerU employee, and it's really, really cool. I love his perspective. And the host of the documentary is actually a girl that he helped get a scholarship to become a welder, but she's like this glamorous, pretty girl who did not sacrifice any of her femininity and broke the mold and became a welder and was originally wanted to be a plastic surgeon, but chose to go the other route of trade school and has become very successful, owns her own home, makes great money, and has no student debt. And they just talk about that, interview some lot of fascinating people, and it really is a very like interesting and uplifting documentary that spotlights the value of trades and how college is not the only option or even necessarily the best option for people these days. So it's definitely worth a watch. So that'll come out tomorrow.
Yeah, we'll talk about it more tomorrow, guys. Thank you for watching. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single day.
And our survey. Amala was going to say that next, right?
I was totally going to say that next. Guys, my job is dependent on you filling out this survey. If you don't fill out this survey, I could very well be homeless on the streets of Los Angeles here very, very shortly. The survey is down in the description. We're also going to throw it in the comments. In a $2,000 a month tent paid for by the California government. that is where I could be if you guys do not fill out this survey and save my occupation. But really, no, it's a survey about how you guys experience the show, how much you like the show, what other PragerU content you watch,
what segments you like, what do you want to see more of, what you want to see less of, if you don't like me or Amala, if you want Will to not come back at all.
Yes.
So
we want to curate the show for you guys.
We'd love to hear some feedback from you guys and just get a better understanding of who's out there watching. How much of the show do you watch? What do you like? What do you not like? And we want to know you. So.
And interesting feedback that is put on the survey will be read on the show. We loved going through your survey answers last time we did one, which was months ago. But the interesting comments will be read on the show. So you have that to look forward to as well. So go and fill that out. Again, it's in the description. It'll be dropped in the comments down below as well. And I believe that's everything I had to plug. So thank you guys so much for watching.
I'm a woman. No, that's it, guys. We're out of here.
If you'd rather listen than watch, you can go to Spotify, Google Play, or Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review so that we know you love the show. Everybody else knows that you love the show. The whole world knows that you love our show and that more people can get to watch it because we are changing young minds, old minds, new minds, and everything in between. So thank you guys so much for watching. We will be back tomorrow with some more hot stories at 2:30 PST, 5:30 Eastern. Bye.
Peace.